Light falls over the surface of the bold metallic letter O. It rotates to reveal more rotating letters falling into place to form new words, entertainment one. A blue piece of glass falls over it to display one. Blue block letters glide through darkness. Light sweeps across them, dimension films. A cartoon boy with a striped beanie plays a guitar on the letter U at the word Troublemaker Studios. Daytime, the view glides through a body of water towards a shoreline with giant boulders. A Robert Rodriguez film, title, Spy Kids. A sprawling hacienda with thick rock walls sits atop a hill. The view glides towards it. Night falls, lights glow from the windows of the house. By one of the windows, a preteen girl wearing a white nightgown sits and gazes into the distance. Ingrid, a short-haired redhead, walks in.
Carmen? Junie? Time for bed. Did you, brush your
teeth? I already did.
She approaches a preteen boy.
Junie, don't forget to
come. I am.
All right.
Okay, what's... Prepare to meet your maker.
Junie wraps colorful bandages around his fingers.
Everything okay at school?
Yeah, it's good. It's fine.
Okay. Well, lights out.
Bedtime story first.
What story do you want to hear?
The two spies who fell in love.
Wow. I haven't told that one in a while.
Ingrid sits.
You probably remember that better than I do. You want to hear a story, Junie?
I'm listening.
Okay. Once upon a time, there was a man and a woman.
And they were both spies.
Yes. She from one country, he from another. She had a very important mission assigned to her.
He was her mission?
Correct. Her mission was to take him out.
On a date?
No, take him
out. Oh, you mean...
I shouldn't be telling you this.
Go on.
Well, you have to understand, these were dark and confusing times. I mean, there was an enormous amount of turmoil between countries. Out of fear, a new kind of soldier was created. Brilliant, brave soldiers whose greatest weapons were their minds. Those men and women were spies.
Now in an airport, Ingrid, sporting a blonde wig, peeks over her sunglasses at a tall mustached man with dark hair. She gazes at him with a gum in her mouth. She throws the gum on his way and he steps on it. Ingrid removes her wig and strides away.
They were masters of disguise. They could sense danger a mile away. And through their work, wars were ended before they even started.
She gazes through her computerized sunglasses. The gum on his shoe leaves a trail of red dots.
Now, the only things spies were truly afraid of were other spies. Enemy spies. So sometimes one spy's mission was to make the enemy disappear.
She rides an elevator.
He was the assignment that changed her life. But when the moment finally came to carry out her mission...
The door opens and he stands outside. He pulls out a photo of himself from her jacket pocket.
She couldn't do it. He was different than she expected.
He pulls a photo of her from his pocket.
Sure, he was charming and intelligent.
They share a smile.
But he was unexpectedly honorable. And it made her realize how years of working with detached emotion had taken its toll. So they kept contact. A few lunch dates. Very discreet. After all, they were on different sides, so they could never be seen together. Dinner dates followed wherever their mutual travels took them. And they fell in love. And they decided that together, they would embark on the most dangerous mission of all time.
What?
They decided to marry.
Wow.
Oh, yes. On her wedding day, she felt like she would rather brave 1,000 deadly missions than go through with what she was about to attempt.
Why is that?
Well, Marriage is a mission so complex that only the most courageous and slightly insane need apply. There's such an amazing series of obstacles one has to navigate to keep marriage together, much less family, that it frightened even her, a hardened and experienced secret agent. But when she saw him standing there with no doubt whatsoever, so assured of his decision, so enamored with what they were about to do, she took his hand, looked deep into his eyes, and said the two most dangerous, most trusting words you can say to anyone.
What?
She said, I do.
Oh, that's so cool.
Now, then the problem started.
Helicopters fly over the outdoor wedding.
There was always some faction that wanted at least one of them gone. On their own, each agent was notorious. But together, they made tempting targets.
The wedding guests scatter. Now, the best man fastens a backpack onto Gregorio. Bridesmaids help Ingrid strap on hers. The couple runs away and a helicopter stoops down. Its blades slice the heads of two statues. Holding hands, the couple jump off a cliff. Their parachutes open in the shape of two red hearts. They land on a motorboat where a banner reads, "Just Married." The driver hits the gas as the newlyweds kiss. Next, a baby grins. Ingrid and Gregorio lean over the crib.
So, they retired, settled down, had a few kids. In a way, they exchanged one life of adventure for another, trading espionage for parenthood. A mysterious and compelling mission in its own right. And they're better off. The end.
No happily ever after?
Well, I said they were better off.
Great story, Mom, but it needs a new ending. It needs monsters.
Oh, is that right? You want me to look at your...
I put the medicine on.
Okay, Munchkin. Good night.
She walks through an archway into a warmly lit, spacious bedroom where Gregorio sits at a desk and writes.
What was the story tonight?
She kisses his neck.
Ours.
How many nights, I wonder, do you send the children off to bed with nightmares?
Carmen asked for the story.
That life is over now. We are consultants, not spies.
He pushes a button. Shelves slide down to reveal a computer. Across the room at a vanity, Ingrid taps on jars of makeup. The mirror turns into another computer.
So I went to their school today.
Uh-huh.
Had that meeting with the principal. Carmen's been skipping school twice a month.
Why?
I don't know. Any of those school friends Junie talks about having?
Yeah, Diego somebody and Ronaldo.
No such beasts. It turns out the other kids, they pick on him. He has no friends.
It doesn't help that he has his head in the clouds, making these weird drawings and burying himself into that demented kid show.
Her chair slides towards him.
They're keeping secrets from us, Gregorio. And I think it's our fault. They've gotten this from us.
We have good reason to keep secrets. If we told them we were spies, they'd have visions of danger every time we leave the house.
Photos of three men with a word missing appear on his computer.
Speaking of secrets, what are you working on over here?
Nothing. Important.
She slides away. He sighs in relief. Daytime. On the patio, Carmen steps along a high rope bridge. Junie hangs from monkey bars.
I have to do this every morning. We already have P.E. at school.
She swings hand over hand behind him.
You gonna hang there all day? Scaredy cat?
Told you not to look down.
I can't help it. I'm slipping.
It's your butterfingers that are slipping.
Hurry up. I can...
She kicks him. He falls on a trampoline and onto the floor. She jumps down and lands with ease.
You just fell 1,000 feet. You're a pancake.
Am not.
R2.
Don't trip getting up, pancake.
He hurls a hand weight and misses her.
Butterfingers. We'll see about that.
Next, Gregorio studies a picture of a balding man with the word missing. Ingrid snatches it from him.
Donegan?
Yeah, he's missing.
Is this what you were hiding from me last night?
I didn't want to worry you.
Now in the backseat of their SUV, Junie watches TV.
Junie, why do you watch that show?
Because it's cool. Why?
Because that's all you ever do. Plays video games and watch the tapes. You don't know why, son?
So always remember, whatever you do, believe in yourself. Your dreams will come true. For you and you.
A drawing.
And you.
What's this supposed to be, a self-portrait? What's this supposed to be, a self-portrait? Mommy's mimicking me! Mommy's mimicking me!
Carmen, leave your brother alone. Junie, stop talking like your sister.
Stop.
Look at this. It's hideous.
Talk to him. It's a Fugly idea. I designed it myself.
Today we're very excited, because today we have a new character. We found him snooping around the castle last night. I want you all to meet Donna Light.
Dad, when Flute makes a toy out of that one, I want it.
Gregorio regards the monster in the photo of the balding man.
Honey?
He stops inches away from the school crossing guard.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Junie. Hey. Anybody gives you a hard time in there, remember, you are a Cortez.
What's so special about being a Cortez?
Lots of things.
Hey, it's the mummy. Nice looking bandages, mummy. Hey, stop, man. When I'm talking to you, you listen. Nice dolls. Here, let me see the dolls.
Have a good day, son. Show them who's boss.
The boy's father, a brawny man, stands behind Gregorio.
Can I help you with something, Macho?
Gregorio removes his glasses. He tucks it into his jacket pocket. The brawny man grabs him. Gregorio picks him up and throws him through a school window. Cheering kids surround Gregorio. Grinning, Junie runs to his father. Gregorio spreads his arms wide open. He picks his son up and spins around. His reverie ends.
I said, can I help you with something, Chief? I didn't think so.
Gregorio slinks away. Junie hangs his head.
My dad was gonna beat up your dad.
No more secrets. Deal?
Soon. Definitely soon.
I even have to share a room with him because he's so afraid of being alone. Watch out for Junie. Take care of Junie. Show Junie right from wrong. I shouldn't be responsible for anybody but me.
You're so right, Carmen. What's so special about being a Cortez?
He gazes at his floop action figure.
I wish I could go away to your world, Floop. You'd be my friend.
Next, a castle with spires sits on a lopsided boulder. Inside, Floop, a young man in a colorful jacket, looks out a window as a suited man paces.
I thank you all for attending today's demonstration. Year after year, we pay outrageous sums of money to several inventors to come up with our technologies. Mr. Floop is one such visionary. However, his inventions are somewhat questionable and therefore need to be evaluated. You promised us an army, Mr. Floop, but our first $1 billion bought us only this.
Floop's Fuglies.
Mutated secret agents.
The mutative process and brain wipe caused their minds to turn to mush. I have found little use for them except as novelties on my, well, my children's show. Currently rated number two? Number two.
Just what the devil are these fingers?
Oh, they're called thumb-thumbs. Very capable robots. But
the creatures have thumbs for legs, arms, and head.
All thumbs. Useless.
Mr. Lisp, I think you'll enjoy this.
Through that door, an awesome power will emerge. You will have but a moment to disarm it. In exactly 10 seconds. 7. 5.
Lisp's partners clear the door. Lisp takes a fighting stand.
1.
The double doors swing open. A 6-year-old boy runs towards him.
Johnny?
The boy leaps over Lisp's head. Lisp gapes. The boy yanks him off his feet. Floop smiles.
You hesitated.
I had to. He's my son.
Are you sure?
The boy's eyes glow.
Actually, I designed him. I built him! His name is...
He reads the boy's dog tag.
X52495. The second.
This is your big idea?
Robot kids that look like my children.
A girl takes Lisp's hand.
The president's daughter?
She flips him.
An almost exact replica. Sometimes, in order to think big, you have to think small. Through physio-electrical imaging, I can make them look like anyone. Yet the cunning and intelligence of the world's greatest espionage agents, all rolled into tiny packages I call spy kids.
Tell me, spy kids.
With your vast stores of
knowledge, what are four of the five physiological indications that a human being is lying?
They're not quite finished. Missing one crucial element.
Missing what?
Their brains.
These buckets of bolts will never pass his children! We have a schedule to keep Floop, a window of opportunity that's closing!
Fast! We will be back in 2 days to pick up our army.
Or we'll take whatever you do have, cut our losses, and lay your entire silly empire to waste.
More time.
He grabs a tiny clay face from Floop and crushes it.
Escort Mr. Lisp back to his chopper, children.
The robot kids drag him away.
Ow! Ow!
That was brilliant, sir.
Thank you, Minion. Now all I have to do is make them work for real.
Back in the hacienda, Gregorio packs.
You're going where?
On assignment. Several OSS agents are missing, including Dunnan. No ransom, no demands. They just disappeared.
After 9 years, you are accepting an assignment? Why?
In a word, Devlin.
Devlin himself called.
He called, asked me to go in.
Well, I'm going with you.
Ingrid. You're always looking to go on another mission. But we have children now. We can't both leave.
I want to go on an adventure. I want to save the world.
Again? Honey, it's old. I mean, if it wasn't for Dunagon and the other agents, I would be turning this mission down myself. I mean, clearly.
You're going to turn me down?
Ain't?
Spy boy.
She whispers in his ear.
What about the later.
Oh, Felix!
Hey, Churros, how are you? Oh, boy, last time I saw you were this big. You're shrinking. What's up? Here, take this bag.
Thanks for coming on short notice, Felix.
That's what families are for, huh? That's what I hear, anyway.
Next, Gregorio peers into a car mirror. He smooths a pencil-thin mustache over his lips and slicks his hair
Ingrid
back.
Arrives in a black tight-fitted clothes and boots. She removes her dark glasses and smiles.
Do I know you?
He opens the passenger door of a high-end SUV. He then hands her a silver case as she gets in.
That feels
like old times.
Later, they drive along a coastal highway. She turns on a built-in computer.
S414 to Santa Cecilia. On assignment to find missing OSS operatives. Agents Ingrid and Gregorio Cortez en route.
Well, it's good to hear those names again.
Good evening, Miss Redenko.
Hello, Greg. And Mrs. Cortez?
Updates?
They're being loaded into your central now.
Scan the area.
They smile and hold hands as they drive off a cliff. Underwater wheels extend out from the SUV and turn sideways. They spin and propel the vehicle forward. They leave a trail of churning bubbles as the SUV moves like a submarine.
Why don't we call them? They'll be getting up for school soon. They should know what we're up to.
Agreed.
You're right. Oh, our first time out in nearly a decade, and all we can do is think about the children.
Miss Grudenko appears on the screen.
You should see OSS escort agents. Our code Delta Bravo.
Repeat the rendezvous point.
Floop appears.
Picking up a TV set.
And you.
And you, Gregorio and Ingrid Cortez. I believe you have something that I want.
No, I know who that is. That's...
She glances back.
We've got to follow her.
No for long. What's this?
The SUV zips sideways between two boulders. A small winged sub follows them.
Watch that.
An enormous whale-shaped sub looms ahead.
They got us. They got...
Its jagged doors open and swallow the SUV. Back at home, Carmen and Junie sit at a table and draw.
And this is what Carmen would look like as a Foogly.
Felix stirs awake on a couch and presses a button on a TV remote. The words red alert flash on screen.
Oh my god.
Is this a fire drill?
Felix grabs two leather backpacks marked emergency.
Put these on, quickly. You don't have any time to...
He looks around nervously.
Follow me.
There's a lot for you to know and very little time to explain.
First of which is...
He rips off his mustache.
I'm not your uncle. Your parents are international spies. Good ones. But they've been mostly inactive for the last 9 years.
What are you talking about?
I was assigned to protect your family, but something's gone wrong. I have to take you to the safe house.
My parents can't be spies. They're not cool enough.
He turns a hidden dial and a bookcase swings open.
That's cool.
They scurry into the secret room.
To the coordinates on my locating device are being taken to Asia.
Or he turns it.
South America. Go in there. I'll be right back.
And if you're not?
Hit the blue button to seal the door and the green button to go.
Junie opens a closet full of winter jackets and boots.
Is this a joke?
Pressing his mustache back on, Felix hurries from room to room. He spots a chest and opens it. A hooded thump-thump breaks a window. Junie crawls through the closet into a pod.
Whoa.
Inside, a monitor shows Felix fighting two thump thumbs.
You'll have to go to the safe house without me. Go now!
Felix, look out!
He whacks a thump thumb.
Yeah.
Find the OSS. Tell them the third brain lives. You must find...
Felix, behind you!
What are those things?
Get them, Felix!
Yeah, more thump thumbs surround him.
Press the blue and green buttons.
We can't leave Felix behind!
Thump thumbs break in through the secret door.
Oh, yes, we can.
Blue to close, green to go, quick!
She retrieves the locating device from the secret room.
Here's the green button.
Blue button first!
Junie! You never do anything right! Blue, then green! We gotta seal the door!
I can't find the blue!
She hits a button. The door shuts. The pod bursts out of a cliff and skids across the water. Thump thumbs follow on motorboats. The pod roof slides open and the kids peek out.
What are those things?
I don't know, but they're catching up.
Where's the gas panel?
No, don't touch anything.
Manual override engaged.
You weirdo, you switched into manual.
She turns the steering left and narrowly misses a fishing boat. The thumb thumbs steer around the boat and pursue.
How do you work this thing?
To take us to the safe house!
The pod heads for the boat again. She flips a lever and the pod flies over it. The fisherman leaps out as thumb thumbs crash through. He holds onto the nose of the pod as it races toward land.
Hang on! I'm coming to get you!
She pulls him into the pod and he accidentally bumps a lever.
Autopilot re-engaged.
The pod shuts its roof and sinks underwater. Thumb thumbs abandon their motorboats just as they head straight to land. Next, the pod speeds through a hole in a reef.
Stop shaking or you'll give yourself more warts.
We're gonna be fine. Just be cool and do exactly as I say. Okay.
They crouch in the small space and step toward the twin pilot seats. Lights flash all around them. They climb in and sit at the twin control panel. She stomps on the foot pedal.
Welcome to the NIX Super Guppy.
Junie, don't touch anything.
He presses buttons.
Junie!
A shade slides away from a glass windshield.
Destination, safe house. Estimated time for arrival, 2 hours, 30 minutes.
Junie, close your eyes.
Why?
Just keep them shut, all right?
Okay.
He covers his eyes as huge sharks swim past. The pod leaves the sharks behind.
Okay, you can open your eyes now.
Thanks.
Just don't want you crying all over me.
I'm never gonna see him again, are we?
He hangs his head. She swallows hard. Later, the pod moves past coral reefs and tiny fish. Carmen sleeps in her seat. Junie fiddles with buttons. Moments later, he shakes his hand over her face. Next, he takes out a snack from a microwave.
Refreshments ready.
Later, he climbs up onto a cushion bunk.
Would you care for a lullaby, sir?
Now, he flushes a toilet and shoves it into a compartment.
Now flushing your poop.
Yeah.
Now in Floop's castle, Ingrid and Gregorio empty their pockets. He puts Junie's foogly drawing on the pile.
Very dangerous.
Two thumb-thumbs lead them into a dungeon past fooglies in cells.
Characters from Floop's TV show. They're prisoners.
Floop and Minion watch them on a monitor.
We need the brain, Minion. We're running out of time.
Don't worry, sir. Ingrid and Gregorio Cortez are the only agents I know of that never had a weakness. But times change. Now they have two.
Next, Carmen and Junie trudge up a steep walkway.
Did you lock it? Yep.
They see a crude cabin ahead.
That's a safe house?
Looks more like an outhouse.
They find no handle on the front door. She pulls a crossbar.
Your name?
Carmen Cortez?
Your full name, please.
I don't use my full name. It's too long.
Your full name, please.
Carmen Elizabeth Juanita Ecosca Brava Cortez.
The door swings open.
My name's a passcode?
They step in. They gape as lights turn on to reveal a furnished cave.
This place is amazing.
She opens cupboards set into the rocky wall.
Empty. How safe's a safe house? There's nothing to eat.
She opens them again and finds them filled with food. Meanwhile, Junie ambles into another room. He reads a label on a shiny metal jetpack.
Machete's buddy pack?
He uncovers a row of jetpacks. Carmen checks a drawer.
Emergency cash? From every country. I think we better take all of that.
Now, Junie sits at a table with a glum look. Carmen places a flat package into a microwave like a rehydration chamber, nearby. The package turns into a burger meal with fries.
Check it out.
She sits next to him.
Thank you, Carmen.
She follows his gaze to a framed photo of their parents.
See him again. Just like they said.
Oh, so this time we're supposed to believe them.
Biting her lips, she turns the photo face down. Now in the castle, the couple sit bound to a chair with ropes.
Let's stop worrying about the children.
They still wear diapers.
Only one is in diapers and only at night. It's not that unusual, okay?
This is why I never wanted to go on another mission.
Are you blaming me for this? An hour ago, you seemed pretty happy to be back in the game.
An hour ago, I was not a prisoner of war.
Okay, we're a little rusty. That's all. This is one way to find out who's behind all this. Oh, if I could just get the pressure right.
She twists her diamond engagement ring. It shoots a laser beam and cuts right through the ropes.
She's still got it.
How do you do that? How do you do that? Hey, what about me?
Next, she leads the way down a hallway.
Remember when we could sense danger a mile away?
The floor breaks apart. Gregorio leaps back. A deep pit separates them.
Those were the days.
Yeah.
He backs up.
Yeah.
He runs toward the pit and leaps. It widens. He lands over the pit and finds it covered by glass. He gets to his feet and jumps up and down.
Okay, come on.
All right.
Yeah. Hi.
Very clever.
The couple continue down the hallway. They spot a sign pointing to a round door.
Virtual room.
Let's go.
They hurry into it. Inside, they stand near a lake where the sun glows behind distant mountains. Birds fly from treetops.
Where are we?
They head back to the door. The door disappears as a storm brews. Next, the couple walk knee-deep in a fiery sky of orange clouds. They fall down a chute. They land on Floop's dinner table. He checks a stopwatch.
15 minutes to escape. With your reputations, I was expecting something a little more impressive. Finally, we can eat!
Now, Ingrid sniffs a spoonful of green goop.
So, you are Floop.
You watch my show?
No, my son does.
He does. Wonderful!
Carmen and Junie.
But not your daughter. Carmen, isn't it? And Junie? Your children will be joining us soon. Careful! I snap my fingers.
Thumb thumbs march in. One slips and falls.
And my fingers snap you.
They back away.
Where are the OSS agents you've taken?
12 years ago, they were part of a research team for the OSS, attempting to create a synthetic intelligence, a compendium of spy knowledge, if you will. Research since destroyed.
If the OSS destroyed its research, it was for a reason.
We all have our reasons. There was someone else on that research team. Someone else who could rebuild it. Isn't that right, Mr. Cortez?
Gregorio swallows hard. A monitor wheels in.
Felix.
It shows Felix bound to a chair wearing a silver helmet. Floop holds up a clay bust of Felix. He squishes it into a fish face, then presses a button. On screen, Felix turns into a fish-faced Foogly.
I think he's going to be a bestseller, and just in time for the holiday rush.
Never, ever build anything for you.
Thank you for joining us.
Gregorio drops down a chute. Back at the safe house, the kids put on gear from their backpacks, black quilted jackets and laced-up boots. Utility belts and watches with a tiny satellite dish. Carmen practices a kick. Junie tries a kick and falls. Next, she examines a book. He plays with his watch.
How to be a spy. Author unknown. A good spy uses his
head.
Ow! Gosh! You're too close! A good spy uses his head. Got that? It's the first one in the book.
Ew. He wears sunglasses.
What do you see?
You.
Very funny. Focus your eyes closer.
on the glasses themselves.
Whoa, maps and readouts.
That's the computer screen. It's a database of some kind.
She opens a photo album of their parents' wedding.
The wedding from the story. It was theirs.
She pockets a photo of their father with a long-haired man.
They should have told us about this stuff.
Yeah, what about Diego and Ronaldo and all your make-believe friends? Shouldn't Mom and Dad know about that?
What about all the days you skip school? Want them to know about that?
That's my business.
He handcuffs himself to a metal box.
Carmen?
I don't have a key. Go knock it against something. Good spy has no fear. Sorry, Junie, guess you can't be a spy.
He slams the box against a wall and falls.
Good spy puts himself, herself, in the mindset of the opponent. Mindset. That's exactly what we'll do. I think it's up to us. You with me.
With you what?
Find the OSS like Felix said.
Okay.
Then let's go.
They gaze at the front door. Carmen walks up to the door and opens a porthole. Miss Grudenko stands on the other side.
Hey, I'm Ms. Grudenko. We work for your parents.
We?
Oh, I can understand if you don't trust me. You were a baby when we first met.
She enters.
Remember me now? Sorry. I have a key. You see? We're all on the same side. We're here to protect you.
My mom has a bracelet like that.
OSS, standard issue. We all have one.
OSS, you work with my parents?
Yes. Now, please listen closely. Open your ears. Your father was able to send one last communique this morning before he disappeared. It consisted of five letters. F-L-O-O-P.
Junie regards his floop action figure with wide eyes. Next, Grudenko's men take out a roasted turkey from the oven.
Fabulous Floop would never do that.
Oh, trust me, he's not that fabulous. In fact...
She turns on a computer.
Recognize these?
Floops, Flooplies. I've got toy versions.
This is what they looked like before he mutated them.
You mean these mutants are captured secret agents?
We're dealing with a genius.
Told you Floop was a freak.
And you know that cute little tuneless song the characters sing? Play it backwards.
We're trapped! Floop is a madman, help us, save us! Floop is a madman, help us, save us!
A cry for help.
Will Floop do that to Mom and Dad?
Definitely. Unless... he gets something your father helped develop. If there's anything you can possibly remember...
Brain lives.
What?
Felix gave us a message to deliver to the OSS, and, here you are.
Here I am. What's the message?
The third brain lives.
Carmen, you have just joined the ranks of women spies in the OSS. Brilliant.
Girls.
Now, where does the third brain live exactly? Did Felix tell you that?
Junie straightens his parents' photo on the small table. Its stand rises to reveal a walnut-sized brain underneath it.
Search the place. It wasn't at the house, so it must be here.
You were at our house?
Junie peers out and finds Thumb Thumb sinking their pods.
Oh, no!
Grudenko spots the plastic brain. She lifts it with her gloved hand.
That's what Floop wants?
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Carmen! She's working for Floop.
Carmen runs over to his side.
Fly this to Floop's castle immediately.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't move!
They aim gadgets at her.
You don't even know what those things are.
I know they're heavy.
She throws it.
That equipment costs millions of dollars!
A thug wears the brain around his neck and heads out.
That brain's the only thing keeping Mom and Dad from being zapped!
She chases him.
Stop her!
Carmen leaps over a ceiling fan. Another thug jumps up and sticks his fingers between the fan blades. The thug with the brain fires up a jetpack and flees. He disappears through a tunnel.
Send in the thumbs.
Carmen straps on a jetpack, then dodges a thug.
Wait for me!
Thumb Thumbs break in. Carmen flies backwards into the tunnel.
How do you work this thing?
Bring her back!
Thumb Thumbs grab jetpacks and chaser. Junie loads his backpack.
Don't you want to see your parents, you little brat?
Sorry.
He sees a jetpack, thugs around him.
Get back!
He then hits one with the metal box. The box breaks away from the handcuffs. Junie grabs the last jetpack. It fires up and darts around the room. It knocks Grudenko over. She tires to push it away and accidentally sets her hair on fire.
Just choke her!
Bad hair day!
Thumb Thumbs hose down her hair as Junie runs into the tunnel. Now, Carmen flies through the tunnel with the Thumb Thumbs in tow. She hovers in an opening where two tunnels meet. Two Thumb Thumbs race at her from opposite directions. She sees a tunnel leading up to the sky.
Uh-oh, going up!
She flies straight up and the Thumb Thumbs crash. Carmen flies out of the tunnel. In the distance, the thug with the brain flies toward the mainland. Carmen follows him.
Uh-oh.
The other thugs chase her.
Carmen?
What? Where did you go?
I'm right behind him. Where are you?
I'm toast.
She snatches the brain from the thug.
Give me back that brain! Get away from me! Tough guy, huh? See ya!
The thug crashes through a billboard. She teeters on top as the other thugs follow.
Whoa!
The billboard falls over. She takes off with the Thumb Thumbs on her tail.
Oh, my sister!
Carmen flies in and scoops up Junie.
Oh, brother!
Uh-oh! I can't hold on much longer!
Get a grip, you big baby!
I'm slipping!
Hang on, Butterfingers!
I'm not gonna make it!
He falls and plummets between tall buildings. She flies straight down and grabs him.
What would you do without me?
She flies into a department store. She drops him in the clothing section and disappears. The Thumb Thumbs fly in. One crashes into the front door. A clothes rack with a jetpack attached to it zips past them. The Thumb Thumbs chase it out into traffic. An SUV rams into the rack. The jetpack spins and burns out. The Thumb Thumbs fly away. Back in the store, Carmen staggers out wearing a new black jacket over a red top. Junie joins her dressed in a black tux over a striped waistcoat. They exit the store, don their sunglasses and board a tram. It drives away as Thumb Thumbs run past. Now in the castle, Thumb Thumbs dance on enormous eyeballs surrounded by an orange sky. They spin around Floop.
It's a cool, cool world, all you little boys and girls, and some mean, nasty people want to have you for their supper. But if you follow me, you can all be free, free, you can all be free. As a bird on a big TV, if you dream, if you dream, if you dream, my
it's a cool, cool world full of nasty boys and girls.
Boogly spin around him on planets.
Nasty, 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 nasty. But there's a way you can make your day. You can laugh, you can smile, you can come and stay a while. You can dream my dream, you can have it all with me. You can dream my dream, you can dream my dream, you can dream my dream.
Floop pauses and stares away pensively. He flings out his arm, the orange sky disappears and the Fooglies dangle from bungee cords.
Lock him up!
He strikes a Foogly on his way and enters a control room.
Need, minion?
I don't...
My show! It needs something! That thing that will take it to number one! Oh, I can feel it! feel it, but I can't think straight enough to figure it out.
Floop, you're spending too much time on this program when you should be more concerned with our grand diabolical plan.
Syndication?
The army of robot children.
This hardware is getting in the way of my creative abilities.
He glares at Minion.
You lost the children.
Not only did they escape, they took the third brain with them.
It exists?
Completely. Cortez lied to us.
Send our best thumbs.
Sir, if you want to catch a criminal, you send a criminal. If you want to snare a spy, you send a spy.
Please speak English, Minion. I've been baking under those studio lights.
If you want to find a child...
Mm-hmm. Minion points at Robot, Carmen, and Junie.
You send a child.
That is brilliant, Minion.
Thank you, sir.
Text, San Diablo. In a playground, kids sit on swings, play chess, glide along a zip line, and climb on a jungle gym. More kids spin a merry-go-round and jump on it. Carmen and Junie sit nearby. He plays with his action figures. She presses buttons on Felix's locating device.
Some locating device? I can't even figure out what the coordinates point to. Who makes this?
Machete Products.
She stares pensively and reaches into her pocket and pulls out the photo of their father with the best man. Words on the back matches with the device label, Machete. Junie studies the third brain in his hands. He then lifts it over his head and brings it down. Carmen stops him.
That's a bargaining chip on getting Mom and Dad back.
This is what Floop wants. I think Mom and Dad will want this destroyed.
How do you know what they want? Until this morning, you didn't even know who they were. We keep the brain. For now.
Why are you still wearing that? That could be a tracer. They could be tracking us.
Don't start pointing fingers at me. I didn't do anything stupid, stupid.
You better stop calling me names.
Or what?
Or I'm gonna call you names.
She takes off the OSS bracelet Grudenko gave her. Lights flash on it.
Oh, right. I hate that.
She throws it away, then drinks from a fountain. Robot Junie walks over to her. He sports a gray suit and a dog tag.
Thought I ditched you.
Why are you dressed like a geek?
We're no longer relatives. Go away. You're just getting stupider by the minute.
Get away from me.
Carmen spots the real Junie.
Let me go!
Robot Carmen lifts him up. Robot Junie twists Carmen's arm.
Oh, I just wanted to do this.
She punches the robot.
Oh, tough guy, huh?
The robot grabs her hand.
Junie!
Let me down!
Destroy the brain! Destroy it!
Robot Carmen throws him onto the merry-go-round. It then shoves the merry-go-round into a super spin. Carmen headbutts Robot Junie. She holds her head as the robot walks away. With a dazed look, she collapses. Robot Carmen hops onto the merry-go-round. Junie's eyes widen. He bangs the brain against the metal floor. He tries to bite it. Robot Carmen grabs the brain. Junie pulls off her dog tag. The robot jumps off, leaving him spinning. Carmen stands up, clutching her forehead. She watches as the two robots put on sunglasses. They raise one fist and fly into the sky. A boy spots them and points up. Subtitles, I want shoes like that. Junie wobbles as he runs over to Carmen, who stares at the sky.
They took the brain?
Yeah, I took her necklace. She didn't even notice.
They weren't very smart. Yours could even speak. Limited edition spy kid. One of 500. Floops can have hundreds of these things flying around.
The third brain makes them smart. They're building an army.
Gotta save Mom and Dad.
Only they can stop the robots.
But who's gonna help us?
Now, metal chains bind Ingrid and Gregorio to chairs.
Working. A synthetic intelligence as smart as any spy.
Flashback, in a lab.
Just go ahead and tighten that brain up.
Gregorio works on a tiny brain.
A third brain system.
The OSS director realized it was too dangerous if the wrong forces found the technology. We were ordered to destroy it.
Scientists bash equipment with hammers.
Why keep that a secret from me? To protect us from something you destroyed? Or something you didn't?
Flash, Gregorio slips the brain into his lab coat pocket. He smashes a walnut.
All these secrets from me, from the children.
The brain. If we save our children, we risk the world. So what in the world do we do?
Next, the kids get out of the cab.
Thanks for taking us this far, but this is all we got.
She hands the driver all the emergency cash. He speeds away.
What are we doing here? Dad's code name must be Hombre. So, this must be Machete.
We're getting help from Dad's best man.
They enter a store. Inside, Gregorio's best man sits at a table covered with gadgets. He gently touches his finger with a drill.
What are you working on?
World's smallest camera.
He turns his finger.
I don't see it.
Ah, but it sees you.
Junie's face appears on a monitor.
You sell counterintelligence stuff here?
Come back with your parents.
We can't. We need something fast that can get us here.
She holds up the locating device.
Who are you?
Carmen Elizabeth Juanita Eco Sky Brava Cortez.
A door slides open.
Gregorio Cortez is our father.
You were at his wedding.
You will turn around. You will leave my shop. Because I never want to hear my brother's name mentioned again.
You're our uncle?
A real uncle? Because we already got a fake uncle.
Gregorio Cortez is my younger brother.
Back at the castle, Floop slouches in a chair. He makes clay faces of himself, one sad and one smiling. Minion reads dog tags on a line of robots.
Daughter, president's son, oh good. Prime minister's son, general's daughter.
And they're all here, as planned.
I have to get back to my show now.
You must focus on the task at hand. We have to prepare the army before Mr. Lisp arrives.
I don't believe in this anymore, Minion. I don't think I ever did.
Explain.
The mutated agents, the robot kids, those aren't my ideas. They're yours.
So what?
Well, I think that's why they're not working.
Not yet, they're not.
Robot Carmen hands the brain to Minion.
But you see, I now have the third brain. I don't need you anymore.
He takes off his glasses and smooths his hair.
Minion? I assure you, it's Mr. Minion now. And you, Floop, have served your purpose. Children, lock him in the virtual room.
Robot Junie and Carmen drag Floop away. Meanwhile...
You're a good agent, aren't you?
What makes you say that?
According to the database, you're always traveling. And no one knows what you do for a living.
I think we all have uncles like that.
Another fine machete prime. You make the best spy inventions in the world.
That's correct.
Yeah, but you sell them to both sides, good and bad. That's why Dad hasn't spoken of you in all these years.
Ever sell stuff to Floop?
Why?
Our mom and dad, your brother, are his prisoners. And if we don't do something to help, something really bad's gonna happen to him.
Next on the roof.
I don't see why you won't help him.
You think I want to babysit my brother the rest of my life? Watch out for Gregorio. Take care of Gregorio. Make sure Gregorio knows right from wrong. Not anymore. Machete's not responsible for nobody but Machete.
He opens the door to a hangar.
But that's not what family is.
We're just brothers. Cain and Abel were brothers. Look how they ended up.
He drags out an airplane.
Now, the only thing that'll get you to Floop's castle fast enough is this.
It's tiny.
It's built for one passenger, but it's fast.
Will you go?
No.
For your brother?
No.
Then how about for us? Your niece and nephew.
No.
Later at the dinner table, they eat.
How about it?
No, a million times no. Past the pig intestines.
Some of them slop out.
Oh, I'm not eating that now.
Nope. Later, the kids lie down on a cot.
Can I have a...
No.
Glass of water? Thank you for letting us stay here while we ponder our parents' terrible fate.
If you weren't a Cortez, I wouldn't be doing this much.
So family does mean more to you than money?
No.
Dad misses you too.
He turns off the light and leaves. Later, Carmen snaps a glow stick and shakes it. It gives off a green light.
Ready? Let's go.
He holds a much longer glow stick. Next, they collect gadgets from Machete's workshop.
Now we're talking.
Machete clutches a paper as he sleeps. Junie tiptoes over and reaches for it.
What are you doing? Getting them out of the Floop's castle.
Machete grabs Junie's hand.
Shh, it's just a reflex. Look, he's still asleep.
She peels Machete's hand away. Junie takes the map. She places a lamp in Machete's hand. He cuddles it.
Sent an adult to do a kid's job.
Next, she opens drawers and finds a laser saber.
Oh, yeah.
She takes some packets of green gumballs. Later, she tinkers with a locating device.
What can I do to help? Remember that spy plane up on the roof? Yeah.
An instruction manual.
Start reading. Homework.
The next morning, Machete wakes up and cocks his head. His eyes widen and he stares at the ceiling. He pats around for the map and jumps out of bed. Next on the roof.
Hurry up! He's running! He's running!
They drive the plane out of the hangar.
Goodbye, Uncle Machete! Thanks for the plane!
It disappears into the sky. Machete grins and waves. Meanwhile at Floop's castle, two mechanical arms produce tiny brains using lasers. They then move on an assembly line. Minion watches closely. He flashes a vicious smile. Now, the spy plane soars over canyons.
Okay, so here's the new plan. We get to the castle, rescue Mom and Dad, then somehow stop Floop from using the brain on the robots before they're sent out to dominate the world. Think we can do that?
How hard could it be?
Warning signs flash on the panel.
I didn't do anything.
Okay, airspeed, fine. Altitude, fine. Autopilot, failing. Oh, great, another fine Machete product. Take control. You have to go to manual. Now!
The plane wobbles.
You were supposed to read all the instructions. You skipped a chapter, meathead.
Better stop calling me names.
Pull up, booger friend.
Stop it, or I'll call you names!
Go ahead, you got nothing on me, warthog!
Sure I do, diaper lady. Aha, hope you're wearing one now.
How long have you known?
Since forever. Mom made me swear not to mention it. So now we're even!
She shoves him into the controls. The plane bumps into a ridge and loses one of its wings.
We're gonna crash if you don't do something!
They lose the other wing.
You did it on purpose, you kamikaze!
But now it's balanced! Landing gear!
The tires fall off.
No landing gear! We're gonna crash!
Nope, we're gonna drop. Get your regulator ready.
She pushes a button and they drop out of the plane. The aircraft crashes on the island next to Floop's castle. The duo plummet into the water. Underwater, the kids breath through air hoses connected to oxygen tanks. They sport divers' masks.
Comm systems check. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Let's try that cave over there.
They swim into the cave.
This must be it.
You're kidding. It's a cave of sleeping sharks.
Sharks don't sleep.
Wanna bet? I did a science project on them. At depths where the water salinization's just right, they gather to sleep. I bet they're guarding the way in. It looks like the door over there.
Wow, cool.
Don't touch it.
Is it a man-eater?
No, but you're not a man yet. You might think you're an oversized guppy and gobble you up.
Hey, little sleepy sharky.
A shark bumps into him.
It's asleep, silly.
I knew that.
Come on.
Sweet dreams, sharkies.
They swim toward the door.
A surveillance camera. I'm gonna distract it. You wait here.
Don't leave me!
Wait here.
She hovers by the camera and clicks a photo at the entrance.
Say cheese.
I hope there's a restroom around here.
I take a picture of the door and place it in front of the surveillance camera so it can't see us go inside.
I gotta go pee and I can't hold it.
Don't pee. Go change the water salinization and wake up all the sharks.
I can't help it. All this warm water. Oh no. Another camera pointing straight at me. What do I do?
Meanwhile, Minion enters the surveillance room filled with hundreds of monitors featuring CCTV feeds.
Why aren't you watching the monitors?
A thumb-thumb studies the monitors on the upper level.
Get more fingers in here if you have to.
Minion peers at a monitor that features the sleeping sharks. Underwater, Junie hides behind a sleeping shark. He urinates and swims over to Carmen, who works at the door.
I couldn't hold it anymore.
The shark opens its eyes.
I'm breaking the code. Almost there. Wait a second, Junie. Keep holding it.
He notices the sharks rouse one by one. She spots them.
Way to go, Butter Platter! Now we're both oversized guppies! Go back to sleep! Good little sharkies! Get inside! Close the door now, Carmen! I'm trying! Try faster!
They swim through the door and shut it.
I'll never pee again.
Next in the castle, hundreds of Spy Kid robots ride a moving belt. Mechanical pincers insert brains into their heads. In the dungeon, Carmen and Junie surface in a pool of water. A thump-thump patrols a tunnel lit by torches.
A thump-thump. A real one.
Carmen covers his mouth. The thump-thump plods towards them and finds the pool empty. It surveys the area around it. The duo hide in an alcove. She chews a gumball. She spits it at the thump-thump. A blue electric shock zaps it.
What did you do to it?
Machete's electro shotgun balls. Says long-lasting, but I don't trust wrappers.
They take off their underwater gear and snap on utility belts. Junie laces up his high-top sneakers. Next, they run down a hallway. Junie places a tiny camera on a wall. He follows Carmen down a hallway and places two more cameras.
Over here. Junie, come on.
He places another camera where two ways meet.
What are you doing?
World's smallest cameras. I just placed them all over the main hallways.
He holds a pocket monitor.
Sweet.
Thanks. Thumb-thumbs. And Fooglies. Coming up the south hall.
An idea? Yeah.
Moments later, two thumb-thumbs herd four Fooglies bound in chains down a hallway. A cable lowers Junie before through the computerized sunglasses. A picture of a missing agent appears.
Agent John again?
The Foogly nods.
Where's my mom and dad?
He aims his watch at the Fugly.
Thanks.
The cable pulls him up into a skylight.
I got it.
What'd he say?
I'll play it backwards.
They're in the dungeon. They're in the dungeon. Hurry.
See if they know where the brain room is.
He lowers himself and lands in the middle of Thumb Thumbs. The cable yanks him back up.
Thumb Thumbs everywhere.
Let's see if they like bubbles.
She blows a huge electrified bubble using a wand. It floats down and explodes. The Thumb Thumbs collapse. The duo lower themselves to the floor.
We'll be back for you, fellow agents. Skinner!
Junie waves.
All robots, please report to docking bays 4, 5, and 6 for immediate loading.
This is the ventilator shaft. Here.
Yeah, but the dungeon's on the other side of the castle. How do we get there undetected?
Next, robot kids march down a hall. The duo study the map of Floop's castle and follow them. The robot's eyes glow as they turn and glare at the duo.
I think they've gotten smarter since the last time we met.
The duo run away. The robots chase them. The floor breaks apart and a pit separates the two kids.
Can you make it?
I think so.
She leaps.
Come on! Come on!
She falls into the pit. The robots march after him. He runs through a chamber full of steel columns. He then stops right in front of the virtual room door.
I hope this leads to a dungeon.
He opens it and steps in. He freezes. A giant Floop face appears among orange clouds.
You there. What's that on your hand?
Junie turns and sees the door disappear.
Warts, aren't they?
Oh, great.
From sweaty hands sprout warts. Do you know why you have sweaty hands?
From being scared all the time.
The giant Floop leans closer to him.
You don't look very scared to me.
That's because I'm mad. You kidnapped my parents, made sick of robot children, and swallowed up my sister.
But I didn't want any of that.
That Floop was a genius.
You did?
Junie pulls out his Floop action figure.
You watch my show.
More than you know.
Now in a lab, Ingrid and Gregorio lie bound to operating tables. Minion enters.
Xander Minion.
Agent Cortez. Wonderful to see you again.
You know him?
Yeah. He was on the Third Brain project. Until I noticed he was trying to inject his own ideas into the system. I turned him in. He was thrown out of the OSS.
I'm afraid I'm not nearly the artist Floop is. But not to worry. I have something else in mind.
He unfolds Junie's drawing of a Fugly and shows it to them.
What do you think you're going to accomplish by doing this?
Well, you see, Mrs. Cortez, I have always been methodical. Goal-oriented, psychotically so.
I'm not afraid of you, Alex.
So I think it's refreshing to every once in a while have some fun. Oh, and don't worry about your little brats. They'll still be able to see you every weekday morning between 7:30 and 8.
He presses a button. The drawing gets scanned. Electric shockwaves pulse down Gregorio's body. Now, Carmen falls into a heap of Thumb Thumbs in a factory. She gets to her feet, hides behind a wall and sees headless Thumb Thumbs ride an assembly line. A giant mechanical hand shoves thumbs into their necks. A Thumb Thumb with painted nails treats an injured Thumb Thumb. Meanwhile, Minion sits before a monitor. It shows Lispin and Helicopter.
I trust this time Floop will have a success to show us.
The fabulous Floop is away on other business, sir. Your army is complete. The ultimate destructive force is now within your grasp.
I'll believe that when I see it.
Grudenko with a few patches of hair on her bald head.
Welcome back, Miss Grudenko.
He kisses her hand.
It's good to be back, Alex. Let's never have children.
Now.
So Minion is the evil one.
Yes.
But I will be blamed. You have every reason to be disappointed in me.
So what would you do if you could shut this thing off and get out of here?
It's impossible. It can only be turned off from the outside.
Junie chews gums.
Just suppose.
I'd stop Minion. I'd stop the robot army and hope that the world would forgive me.
Junie gags out a glowing ball.
You're my hero, Floop. So I'm gonna help you, then you're gonna help me. Minion must be stopped.
Just one thing. My show. What does it need? I know it needs something desperately, but I can't figure it out. Maybe you can.
It needs children. Hold still.
He throws the glowing ball at Floop's head. It zaps him. The sky disappears and he shrinks to his regular size.
Now let's stop Minion.
They run out of the virtual room.
Must be stopped. Must be stopped.
A thumb appears in the hall. Junie tackles it.
This one's for my sister! Oh, no.
He rips off its thumb head to reveal Carmen.
Hola.
Now in the dungeon, Ingrid paces behind bars.
Carmen? Junie?
Mom!
A boogly reaches out.
That's my boogly!
The one I drew.
He takes its hand and gazes at the boogly's flat cartoon face.
It's dead.
You're here!
Ingrid sees Floop.
What's he doing?
He's okay. He's okay.
Yeah. How did you get here?
Carmen draws on the bars with an acid crayon.
I've been skipping school, going places, taking ferry rides in the city.
The acid burns through the bars. Carmen pulls the section of the jail cell door and lets her mother out.
It's okay, I know. We'll talk about it when we get home.
Running off to Belize.
What? You went where?
You're right, let's just talk about this when we get home.
No. You can tell me everything now, okay? Is that what you want to be? Free from your family?
Hey.
Junie runs into his mother's arms.
Used to. Not anymore.
Junie turns to Floop.
You turned my dad into a Floopley?
No, I didn't. But I might be able to change him back.
Next, helicopters fly towards the castle. Now, Minion squirms uncomfortably on a chair shaped like a giant hand. Gridenko enters with Lisp and his men.
Gentlemen, your army marches to meet us as we speak. Your faith and your patience have meant more than you know. I speak for Mr. Floop when I say that the value we place on partnership is...
Minion, this is Floop. Please report to the robotics lab at once. We have huge, major, big-time problems with the robots.
I thought you said Floop wasn't here.
He's not.
A problem, Mr. Minion, as in mucho grande problemo.
I'm gonna... Just be a moment.
He hurries into the lab and finds it deserted.
Minion!
Floop! Where are you?
Behind you.
He turns around to see Junie.
What do you think you're doing? You're supposed to be in line with the others. You're supposed to be in line with the others. Stop that. Stop that! Stop that disinstance! Stop that disinstance! Stop that! Right now!
Or what?
Gregorio rises behind him and peels off his mustache.
Clever boy, you've got there, Cortez. Very clever indeed.
He gets that from his mother.
Ingrid appears.
Can I offer some sort of truce? In exchange for your daughter, perhaps.
Spoken for.
There you are. Didn't see you.
Gregorio grabs him.
I am going to show you what happens when you cross the line and involve family.
Now let's get nice and comfortable.
They strap him to the Foogly machine.
Yes.
Gregorio molds a clay Foogly face.
Promising. Thank you.
He places the start button in Minion's hand.
You couldn't possibly.
No. But you can. Don't let go. Ingrid?
Hey, you two, come on.
They leave Minion alone in the lab. Smiling Minion takes his thumb off the button.
Fools.
He releases it. Colorful energy waves pass through his body. He breaks out of his binds.
Come on.
In the hall.
We have to keep the army from leaving the castle. Our only chance is to get to the control room and hope that their missions have not been programmed.
And what if they have?
Then there's no one on Earth who can stop them. One at a time. Go.
The kids leave with Floop. Robot Carmen and Junie grab their parents.
Mom and Dad.
They enter the control room. Floop turns on a monitor.
Your doppelgangers have them.
Can you shut them down from here?
It's too late. The third brain is linked not only to them, but to all the robot children.
Can't you remove it?
We can't just take 500 brains out.
So don't. Just reprogram it.
That would take weeks.
Just two words.
A binary switch, of course. So they would define right as wrong.
And wrong is right. Come on.
But it's not that simple.
Figure it out. We'll be back for you.
Teach them to be good.
Floop pushes buttons. Meanwhile.
Have a seat, Mr. Lisp. You'll be more comfortable.
It's Lisp.
He sits down.
My army, Miss Gradenko, is the only comfort I need.
They're on their way now, sir.
Minion now with four mangled up faces.
What happened to your head?
Oh, don't worry. I think it's reversible.
Now, Ingrid and Gregorio stand bound to a platform.
Dad!
They disappear into the skylight. Robot Carmen and Junie head for their counterparts.
Careful. They're stronger and smarter now.
So are we.
She takes a few steps towards the robots then, stamps her foot.
Ah!
The robots turn and run. They somersault off the wall and take fighting stances.
Oh, shit. Talking mushrooms.
The robot's eyes glow. They step toward each other. Carmen and Junie face off with their counterparts. Robot Carmen lifts Junie into the air. Carmen shoots a cable up to the skylight and sends Robot Junie with it. Robot Carmen spins Junie overhead. Meanwhile, Ingrid and Gregorio remove the chains binding them. They leap off the platform and land before Lisp and the others.
Lisp? I should have known you were behind this.
I take it you are Minion. Miss Gradenko, I think.
Oh, it's me all right. I owe my new look to your children.
Remind me to raise their allowance.
Minion, I think now would be a good time to see a demonstration of those wonderfully demonic children of yours.
Certainly.
Now, Robot Carmen throws Junie, who slides across the floor. It then faces real Carmen. Robot Junie drops down from the skylight. Junie pushes Robot Carmen and falls over back. Robot Junie holds Carmen back.
Your parents were so easy to capture. And you're not any better. Poor little Junie. Defenseless and weak.
It punches through a wall. Chunks of concrete land near Junie, who gapes.
You're a worthless little squirt. Junie! Don't listen to her! You're not worthless! You figured out how to get us here. You helped Floop realize he was good, not bad. You talked to the Fooglies and saved Mom and Dad. You're strong, Junie! You're strong!
Junie punches the wall.
You're not that strong, Junie!
Ow!
Puny.
It lifts him.
It's all over.
He smiles. It frowns. He spits a gumball onto its nose. Electric shock zaps the robot. It drops Junie and peels off the gumball. The kids push the two robots up against a wall.
Instant cement.
They spray pink cement at the robots, sticking them to the wall.
That should hold them.
The robots pull free.
Let's go find Mom and Dad.
Good idea.
The kids run.
All robots report to the grand room for a final demonstration of your destructive powers.
Now in the grand room.
Mom and Dad!
Junie!
Carmen, Judy, close your eyes. We don't want you to see this, okay?
The kids open their eyes to find four thugs on the floor. Hundreds of robot kids march toward the grand room. Carmen and Juni join their parents and raise their fists.
Any ideas?
I think. Wonderful. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Carmen?
No, Juni.
Okay, you have to be. I'm following it now. Yes. I'm following it now. I think I got it.
Tell us.
Family, here's what we do. I'll take the handle on the right. Ingrid, you take the handle on the left. Carmen, handle center left. Juni, center right. It'll work.
It's 500 total, Dad. We need one more person.
Machete crashes through a window and joins them. He smiles and holds up his fists.
Isidore. Hello, little brother.
Grudenko, Lisp, and Minion gape at them.
Children!
Robot Carmen and Juni arrive.
Tear him limb from limb.
Back in the control room.
Good. How to teach them? Shaped by environment, man. Of course.
He pushes buttons. In the grand room, the Cortezes huddle together. The robots rush past them and run towards Lisp, Minion, and Grudenko and throw them into the air.
Minion! Don't put me down!
Their minds of their own now, sir. Anything we tell them goes in one ear and out the other.
Gregorio turns to his brother.
Why did you come back?
For the same reason I left.
You know what? I don't remember that reason.
Neither do I.
It's okay. Let it go. He's fine. He's gonna be fine.
Emotional. Latinos. Okay. That's it. Yeah.
Juni walks over to Floop.
So, what did you teach them?
It's not what I could teach the children. But what you taught me. You won today, Juni. And not because you were the biggest or the strongest, but because you were pure of heart and of mind. And now the robots have learned that as well. Thank you.
We went on the old-fashioned adventure I always wanted. And we didn't do one thing right.
Nope. We did two things right.
They approach Carmen and Juni.
There is something that we have to tell you.
Your father and I, we're secret agents.
We have something to tell you. We are secret agents, too.
Juni winks. The parents purse their lips and shake their heads. They all stand in a circle with their hands on top of one another. Later in the hacienda, a TV plays in the kitchen. Juni removes bandages off his fingers.
Today, all in different countries, of yet another group of children who've done some incredible good deeds. It seems that a day doesn't go by that another amazing child performs some outstanding act of charity or community service. Who are these children, and why are they so good at being good?
A thumb helps Ingrid in the kitchen.
Why don't you close down your shop?
Yeah, but I gotta keep tabs on Free Enterprise.
Boys, can we please stop fighting?
Ingrid and Gregorio kiss as Floop's TV show starts.
Hey kids, it's time for Floop's Foogly!
The minion Foogly tumbles past Floop.
Good morning, my children. Today, I'd like to introduce you to two new characters in our show. Carmenita and Junito.
Robot Carmen and Juni, a message interrupts the broadcast.
Ah, Cortezes. An emergency assignment has come up in the Far East. I need you on it right away.
Oh, sorry, Devlin. We haven't talked about this as a family yet, so...
Whether we come out of retirement or not, there's a decision that is up to us. And our kids.
Gregorio, Ingrid, I wasn't talking to you.
Me?
No, this assignment is for Carmen and Juni. They're the ones we need. They're the two most amazing field agents that this organization's ever seen. So what do you say, kids? You up for it?
Devlin, if you want the Cortezes, you take all the Cortezes. Even Mom and Dad. From now on, whatever we do together. Spy work,
That's easy. Keeping a family together, that's difficult. And that's the mission worth fighting for.
She turns off the TV. Cut to black, and credits begin. Written and directed by Robert Rodriguez. Produced by Elizabeth Avellan. Produced by Robert Rodriguez. Executive producers Bob Weinstein, Harvey Weinstein, Carrie Grinnell. Cast, Antonio Banderas, Carla Gugino. Described video provided by BMI. End credits continue.
And girls, and some mean, nasty people want to have you for their supper. But if you follow me, you can all be free, free, you can all be free. As a bird on a big TV, if you dream, if you dream, if you dream, my dream.
It's a cool, cool world full of nasty boys and girls, full of selfish, mean, nasty people, nasty, 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 nasty.
But there's a way you can make your day. You can laugh, you can smile, you can come and stay a while. You can dream my dream, you can have it all with me. You can dream my dream, you can dream my dream.